sure the mixture I have devised is both nourishing and safe, and will have usable effect. But we will go and get behind the sandbags now, sir, said Ponder. Do you really think... Yes, sir. With his back firmly against the sandbags, Ponder shut his eyes and pulled the string. In front of the dragon's cage, a mirror swung down just for a moment, and the first reaction of a male swamp dragon on seeing another male is to flame. There was a roar. The two men peered over the barrier and saw a yellow-green lance of fire thundering out across the evening sea. 33 seconds, said Ponder when it finally winked out. He leapt up. The small dragon belched. From the Journal of Leonard of Quirm, some observations on Draco vulgaris, common swamp dragon. The creature's body shape is lumpy, its posture low and hopeless. Its beard and thrips are unkempt, and its scales almost non-existent. The dragon's wings are effectively useless, except in a glide, and its eggs badly constructed. The flame was more or less gone, so it was the dampest explosion Ponder had ever experienced. Ah, said Leonard, arising from behind the sandbags and peeling a piece of scaly skin off his head. Nearly there, I think. Just a pinch more charcoal and seaweed extract to prevent blowback. Ponder removed his hat. What he needed right now, he felt, was a bath. And then another bath. Not exactly a rocket wizard, am I? He said, wiping bits of dragon off his face. But an hour later, another flame lanced over the waves, thin and white with a blue core, and this time, the dragon merely smiled.
"I'd rather die than sign my name," said Boy Willie. "I'd rather face a dragon," said Caleb. "One of the proper old ones, too, not the little fireworky ones you get today."
"Once they get you signing your name, they've got you where they want you," said Cohen.
"Too many letters," said Truckle. "All different shapes, too. I always put an X."
The horde had stopped for a breather and a smoke on an outcrop at the end of the Green Valley. Snow was thick on the ground, but the air was almost mild. Already there was the prickly sensation of a high magical field.
"Reading now," said Cohen. "That's another matter. I don't mind a man who does a bit of reading. Now, if you come across a map, as it might be, and it's got a big cross on it, well, a reading man can tell something from that."
"What, that it's Truckle's map?" said Boy Willie.
"Exactly. Could very well be."
"I can read and write," said Evil Harry. "Sorry, part of the job. Etiquette, too. You've got to be polite to people when you march them out on a plank over the shark tank. It makes it more evil."
"No one's blaming you, Harry," said Cohen.
"Not that I could get sharks," said Harry. "I should have known better when Johnny No-Hands told me they were sharks that hadn't grown all their fins yet, but all they did was swim around squeaking happily and start begging for fish. When I throw people into a torture tank, it's to be torn to bits, not to get in touch with their inner self and be one with the cosmos." "Shark would be better than this fish," said Caleb, making a face.
"Nah, shark tastes like piss," said Cohen.
He sniffed.
Now that, said Truckle, is what I call cookery."
They followed the smell through a maze of rocks to a cave. To the minstrel's amazement, each man drew his sword as they approached.
"You can't trust cookery," said Cohen,
apparently as an attempt at an explanation.
"But you've just been fighting monstrous mad devil fish," said the minstrel.
"Nah, the priests were mad. The fish were, well, hard to tell with fish. Anyway, you know where you stand with a mad priest, but someone cooking as well as that right up here, well, that's a mystery."
"Well?"
"Mysteries get you killed."
"You're not dead, though."
Cohen's sword swished through the air. The minstrel thought he heard it sizzle.
"I solve mysteries," he said.
"Oh, with your sword, like Carolinus untied the Tsortian knot."
"Don't know anything about any knots, lad."
In a clear space among the rocks, a stew was cooking over a fire and an elderly lady was working at her embroidery. It was not a scene the minstrel would have expected out here, even though the lady was somewhat youngly dressed for a grandmother, and the